Kids have done a really good job. So we're going to share a little bit more about the message of this program that my wife put together today. We're talking about God's love in action and how important it is that we have God's love. You know, as we look at the story of Christ, most of us probably heard that story on what it really means and how all that kind of flows together. But, you know, Jesus came as a baby. He died as a lamb. He rose as a champion. And he's going to come back as a king. So as we look at that and keep that in perspective, you know, we can see that how important it is to, I guess, be on the right side, be on the correct side of eternity and what that really means. Scripture I want to share, John, 1 John 4, 7 to 9, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." A word that stuck out to me there is the word manifested. It's not a word we use a lot, but what that word actually means is to be made clear or to be made known openly, to show it openly. And really, how the love of God is revealed to a lost and dying world is when you and I show that love in our lives. We each have opportunities every day to be able to share the love of God. Now, sometimes I know this, because I live here too, is the fact that sometimes it's hard to show love in such an unloving world. There's so many things out in the world that are unloving, war, famine, all these different things that are going on, but yet you and I still, part of our Christian character of what we need to do. How many here is a character anyway, you know what I mean? But, you know, part of our Christian character is to show love and to respond in love. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the love chapter. It talks about love never fails. Now, if you've tried this in your own life, try it at home. This really works. When you choose to walk in love, you will never fail. You cannot be hurt. You cannot be offended. Nothing can hurt you because you're walking in that kind of love. And that's how you and I need to respond. Now, my wife mentioned there about some markers in life, and we all know several markers. You and I have each went through some of these markers. You know, the day you were born. We know the day. We don't remember when we were born, right? But still, that's a marker. You probably celebrate your birthday. I kind of quit celebrating them a couple years ago. You know, when I turned 60, now I'm 65. You know, they're not that big a deal. But when you're young, you really look forward to that milestone, that marker in your life of when you became alive, right? That's when life started for you. Also, I remember this myself, and maybe you do, the first day you went to school, that's kind of a marker. You kind of left your parents, and you went to school, and then you turned your life over to these other people that kind of trained you a little bit. And then the big day, remember the day you graduated? Oh my, you thought, wow, you know, life was so hard in school, and then you graduate, and you find out what real life's all about, right? You know, some things that we have to start dealing with. Well, then there's that great day, hopefully, the day you got married. I remember the day I got married, you know, still remember it, 39 years ago. That's it. I know. I was just messing with her, you know. But anyway, and then also the day our children was born. That's a special marker in our life, right? Go to the hospital and the baby comes and, you know, how about you, but I counted the fingers and toes, you know, 10 and 10, man, that's great. Everything's perfect. You know, so excited about that day when your children were born. But I want to ask us, what about the day that we surrendered our life to Christ? That should be a marker. I remember mine. For whatever reason, I had dabbled in Christianity for a while. I had attended a church. I knew my life was going to, it was a mess. In some ways, I wasn't living the way that I'd been raised and had taken a few wrong turns in life. Anybody ever taken a wrong turn? And even after I took a wrong turn, I never had enough sense to turn back. You know, I kept going down that road thinking, hey, there's got to be a way out somewhere. But it wasn't. You know, and then finally I came to the decision where I knew that, hey, something had to change. You know, I believed in God, but I didn't really know God. And so then I really decided I'm going to seek after God. I went and bought a Bible, and I believed that God was real. I started attending a church and was involved in that church. You couldn't beat me away from that church. No matter how late I was out on Saturday night, I was there on Sunday morning. You know, there was just something there I knew I needed, but I'm kind of slow. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of slow. It took me about a year. But that church loved on me. I knew that they knew that I was not right yet. I mean, they could smell it on my breath. They could tell by the way I looked. But they loved me anyway. And that's the kind of love we want to show to anybody that comes in these doors. Because that through that love, I hung in there. Then finally, on November 5th, 1983, at 610 South Gilpin in Denver, Colorado, I surrendered my life to Christ. I let Him take control, and I was born again. Old things passed away, and new things come. And that experience is real. The reality of coming in contact with a holy God is possible through Jesus Christ and the power that has given. See, you and I celebrate Christmas, which was the birth of Jesus, and we celebrate Easter, which is the resurrection. But I want to know, can we celebrate the day we're born again? And if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do so. What are you waiting for? There's no better opportunity ever going to come for all eternity is the fact that God sent His Son. I mean, to me, it's just so amazing how God did this. I mean, who would have thought sending a baby? I mean, He kind of rolled the dice there, in my opinion. A lot of things could have went wrong. But He set His Son down, and He lived His life, and then He chose to die on the cross for our sins. So the power that comes through Jesus is what I've learned is that only Jesus can make sense out of a senseless life. My life was senseless. I was making wrong choices. But then Jesus came into my life, and it totally turned things around. Now, love is one of those deals. When I was a kid, you know, how many know that my age group had the best music? You know what I'm saying? You know, we had some good music. I keep telling the youth group that, you know, your music's nasty. It's no good. You know, give me that, you know, that old rock and roll songs, all those things, you know. But they always talked about love. Love hurts, love stinks, you know, all that stuff. Remember that? You know, those things get kind of in there, but it really wasn't really the true depiction of love. Because only if you know God, you really find that out. But what I found out is the idea is that, you know, two things we need to do. You and I need to know how to give love, but also we need to know how to receive love. And those two things are very important. Because if we don't get both of them together, our life is really out of balance. And it's really kind of messed up. You know, some people just can't do both together. See, they can give love, but they can't receive love. And when that happens in your life, you become a doormat. Meaning that also you don't feel worthy that anybody can ever love you. You give love trying to get that connection, but you can't receive it. There's a block going on. And so how could anybody love me? And maybe that's where you're at today. Well, I know there's hope through Jesus Christ. Well, then there's the other side of the coin. Others can receive love, but they don't give love. They're kind of self-centered. Maybe you're sitting by somebody like that. No, don't point at them right now. But we've all been that way, haven't we, sometimes? We've all been that way. We're self-centered. What it is they're a taker. You know, it's a self-serving love. And, you know, what can I get without having to give anything in return? And see, that's out of balance, too. That's messed up. So to receive love, to me, is to receive God because God is love. You know, when we receive God, the Bible says God is love. That's what He is. And so when we receive Him, We receive love. We really know. And I'll be honest, I thought I knew what love was until I met God. And then I really experienced what love really was. And it just totally amazed me, and it totally changed my life. See, the love of God is made clear to a lost and dying world when we allow Jesus to live through us. And it's through those Christians out in Denver, Colorado, that, you know, I'll be honest, nobody witnessed to me in Albia. They gave up on me. You know, I was born and raised here. I went to Denver, but these people reached out to me and they took me under their wing and they accepted me. And they showed me what that love was like, and it slowly started to melt my heart until I could get into a position where I could receive God for myself. So we as Christians, how important it is for us to be able to show that love. You know, how's that made possible today? Well, some of you getting ready to exchange gifts, maybe you've already started. Some of you have big extended families, and maybe you've already had a Christmas. It's probably a little early, but there could have been that. But what's going to happen here in the next few weeks is you guys are going to start giving gifts. You're going to exchange gifts. But to me, the great exchange was when God traded the life of his son for me and for you. God willingly, I don't know, how many would trade their children to be able to save mankind? Maybe on a certain day, right? You know, every now and then. But for the most part, if you had time to think about it, no way. Because I love my child. I would not give my child up for that person over there who is so dirty and filthy and chooses to live that way. But that's what God did. God looks past where we're at now, and he can see where we can become. He has that vision and that to be able to see the future. Never give up on yourself and never give up on anybody else. Because God, in a split second, can turn things around. That's how quick it is. That's how quick it was for me to be able to turn my life around. So in seeing this, Jesus was the living sacrifice, the loving sacrifice, and the lasting sacrifice. He was living because true life conquers death, hell, and the grave, and that's what he did. His life was more powerful than anything death could throw at him. He was a loving sacrifice because he willingly laid his life down for you and I. Love held him on the cross. Even though he was nailed, his love would have kept him there. That's how committed he was. And that's how committed you and I need to be to serving him, is to follow him. And he's the lasting sacrifice. He paid for sin once and for all. Never again does another sacrifice have to be made. Never again do we have to think we can pay for our sins, because Jesus Christ has paid for them. All we have to do is receive it. Just like we receive love, you got to receive a gift. Some people can't receive a gift. They can maybe give, but they can't receive. But see, we got to learn how to receive. And it's the greatest gift, and that comes by surrender. So, God's love, what it needs is God's love needs a reaction. The name of our program is God's Love in Action. But see, God's love needs a reaction. How will we react to God's love? What decision will we make? What steps will we take to be able to follow God like that and to react to that love? You know, we need to do it. Have you ever, maybe you've never done this, I don't know if I've did it, probably not, because I wasn't this kind of guy, but have you ever said, I love you to somebody and they never said it back? Man, that's brutal, ain't it? You know, you just throw that out there and then all of a sudden you don't get nothing back. You know, you want to send up a few test balloons, you know, and make sure. But see, that can be offensive. It can really damage things. And then also is the idea of, you know, we got to think about is that God said, I love you. Are we going to say anything back? Are we going to say, God, I love you back? You know how we do that? We yield our life to Christ and surrender our life and give it to him. And let him take control. The Bible says Jesus Christ is Lord. That word Lord means master. I know that's a big commitment. It's bigger than marriage. It's bigger than any commitment you'll probably ever make in your life. Is the idea of saying, God, I want you to take control. I want you to take charge. It doesn't mean we'll never make decisions again. But it just means that we've chosen to surrender and to be able to ask Him to come in and take control. To give Him permission to work in our life. That's what He wants. He wants permission. He could do it anyway because He's God. But He asks us to give Him permission by surrendering our life to Him. And if you haven't done that, I want to pray right now. Every head bowed and eye closed. I want to give an opportunity. And if you pray this prayer, I have some information I'd like to give you, a little booklet after service. Come see me. But, you know, that's all it is. The Bible talks if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead and you confess with your mouth, the Bible says you'll be saved, but it has to be a heartfelt prayer. So please pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to You today, Lord, as a sinner, separated from You. I repent. Means I'm going to change direction. And I surrender my life to You. Thank You for Your blood washing me and making me clean. So I surrender my life to You. Now You give Your life to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for coming out and letting us minister to your children, my wife and I. Amen. You can clap if you want. I've never got anybody clapping? No, nobody clapped. I thought they started to clap. Like I said, usually I don't get claps. Usually people turn and run. But anyway, thank you so much for letting us minister to your children. We love them so much and being able to see how they've grown in Christ. Hey, they're a work in progress, right? Just like us. So don't send them to church and think we're going to send them home perfect. You know that I mean? We work miracles, but in an hour and a half, it's kind of rough. So we are also open on Sundays, as you see. Amen? And many of you, how many got bit coming in here? We don't bite. So, hey, set a goal of coming maybe a couple times a month to get started on Sundays and be a part of what we're doing. We also have some Wednesday night classes. So, amen. All right. Bless you.